Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Period Party. I am so excited to have my good friend Zara Haji on with me today. Hi, Zara.
Hi, Nicole. It's so good to be here.
Yay. I'm so happy to have you. I'm so excited because today is also International Women's Day. So I want to wish everyone a happy Women's Day. And I want to introduce Zara and then tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about in this episode. So Zara is a yoga teacher, a women's reproductive health and fertility coach, and director and founder of Yoga Goddess. She's committed to teaching women how to embrace their bodies and experience the physical and spiritual health of being a woman. And her Not Psycho Period movement is dedicated to changing the cultural conversation about women's periods from shame to celebration. Go you. And so in today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about Zara's story when she first realized that we're not psycho, but we're cyclical, actually, and suggestions for the best response for when someone says the stereotypical, you must be on your period, or that you're PMSing, the most annoying thing ever. And in celebrating International Women's Day, we're going to learn about what everyone, including men, will take away from having more period awareness in their lives. So take it away, Zara. I would love to hear, starting with your story, about when you had that first realization.
Well, essentially, you know, I was kind of always aware that I wasn't the same all the time, and so I just assumed that there was something wrong with me. And I attributed it pretty much to, you know, quote unquote, being a hormonal woman. And it just, you know, it just seemed like everyone just accepted that women were kind of a little bit, you know, a little bit crazy, a little bit, you know, unstable. And that seemed to be just a normal stereotype and everybody accepted it. So, you know, it wasn't till I think my late 20s that I came across Christiane Northrup's book, Women's Bodies, Women's Wisdom. And in it,
Bible.
I read the... Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, in it, I came across this incredible chapter that basically said our ovarian functions and our psyches are intimately connected and that they reflected the natural cycles like the phases of the moon and the seasons. And I was just totally blown away because I immediately recognized myself in that cycle of darkness and light. So, you know, half the month feeling really like more, I want to be alone, introspective, like let me just journal and read self-help books. And then half the month feeling like really social and really outgoing and I wanted to like party and also like get a million things done. And it just helped me realize, okay, there's absolutely nothing wrong with me. There's in fact kind of this natural ebb and flow that happens every month with our hormones, and it's actually connected to estrogen and progesterone, and it makes perfect sense why we cycle through high energy times and low energy times. And it was just like this really kind of like a relief that there was essentially nothing wrong with me. And then when I started to ask, you know, my colleagues, because I was in yoga school at the time, and I was doing a special course in women's studies, so specifically how yoga can help women, a woman heal her body. So whether it's, you know, prenatally or to get pregnant or just to, you know, deal with women's cycle issues, I really wanted to really get underneath, okay, so what is the cause of all these problems that we have as women? And I asked around, and, like, literally nobody knew this information. Same, you know, like I said earlier, everybody just accepted that, you know, yeah, hey, we're just hormonal and this is just the way it is. And also, like, so many women accept so many other things, like periods are, you know, they're painful and that's just the way it is, or, you know, we suffer through different ailments like fibroids or endometriosis or cysts. And the thing is that these are not things that we should just accept and do nothing about or just go on the pill for, that there is a way to work with your hormones. So it was really enlightening for me to realize not only are we not psycho, that we're cyclical, but that there's a way for us to work with our hormones to actually heal, you know, the root causes of these painful conditions instead of just accepting them and living with this notion that as women we're just supposed to suffer through, you know?
Yes. Oh, do I know? I feel like I'm just nodding my head vigorously over here to everything you're saying. I feel like it was a massive revelation for me, too, when I discovered all of this, just like you. I mean, I felt like I'd opened this Pandora's box in a good way of information that had up until that moment just not been available to me or to any woman I ever knew. And once I had this clearer understanding of how my body functioned, first of all, I was no longer afraid of it. And secondly, I felt so empowered and in an understanding of, oh, right, so I'm not supposed to feel like I'm broken all the time, and I'm not supposed to feel like I'm crazy half the time. So it's so amazing to hear how your journey played out and how you came to now do this incredible work because of that revelation.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it really is, like you said, it is a revelation. And, you know, it's really every woman's birthright. Like, this information, it's not secret information. It's not, it's meant for all of us. It's our birthright as women. And, you know, the unfortunate thing in terms of historically, for whatever reason, whether it's patriarchy or, you know, religion or just our cultural taboos, a lot of this wisdom has been concealed or it's just not widely shared or understood or taught. So, you know, your mother's not going to tell you this. Your doctor's not going to tell you this. Your teachers at school in sex ed are not going to tell you this. So it really is, you know, I feel like, you know, for me and you doing this work, that's what we're doing, is we're really educating women about the wisdom of their bodies, the power of their hormones and how to work with them instead of against them. And in that, there is so much, you know, empowerment, and there's so much to celebrate. So it's so exciting for me to be, you know, having this conversation with you on International Women's Day, because I really think it's something that we need to celebrate.
Oh, there's no doubt. I completely agree with that. I mean, I will say that so many women say to me things along the lines of, why has nobody ever told me this information before? How is it I'm 30 or 35 or even 40 or whatever, and I have never learned this? And they do feel like it's almost a secret in a way, because there's just never been this kind of information shared with them. So it is really, I love that, actually, those moments when women have these huge revelations. I find it very rewarding, in my, at least as a part of my career.
Oh, completely. And I guess what I mean is, it feels secret, and it really, you know, it lies inside of you. Every single woman has access to this information, and we just want to help you get it for yourself from within your own body, because it's not outside of yourself. That this wisdom, it lives inside of your body, and this is a way for you to start accessing it, because, you know, you deserve to know how to work with yourself instead of feeling like you're crazy or something's wrong.
Right, or like constantly working against your body and your hormones, which I think many of us do, because we do live in a male-dominated world, and many of us work in a very male-centric environment. And so it's harder for women to really understand that there is so much strength that lies within them. It's just a matter of recognizing what those strengths are and honoring them, because they do look so different to the male strength that's so typically rewarded.
And that's such an important point, because we do live in a very masculine, dominant society. And I don't just mean that by male dominant. The masculine energy in ourselves, even as women, is really dominant. And so a big part of the education that I like to give women and to the, you know, my clients that I work with, is to really help women see that there is a difference between operating in the masculine and operating in the feminine, and that when you make that transition, it doesn't make you any less powerful. or effective in the world, you can be just as powerful and just as effective without wearing, let's call it like the archetypal masculine energy, or like, you know, the proverbial like suit, you know, office suit kind of energy. And really step into your feminine and still feel powerful. In fact, you're working with your strengths versus trying to override your natural kind of like hormonal energy flow. When you're trying to override it and forcing yourself to be on all the time, or forcing yourself to be like super productive against what your body is, you know, naturally, when your body is naturally trying to slow down and turn inward, you know, then you're going to have raging PMS. If you never slow down and take a pause during your period, you're going to have, you know, debilitating cramps. So all of these things that, you know, the way we behave and the way we kind of treat our bodies and try to force ourselves into this, like, go, produce no matter what, stay on, you know, use caffeine or use like over exercising to try and force the body to kind of like run overboard, that, you know, it's depleting, and it's like you said, it's working against your hormones, not with them. So this is really what I'm hoping, is that more and more women, as they understand how to work with their body, they can actually optimize every area of their life, work, relationships, their sex life, and really how they relate to their themselves and their health, including their fertility.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, I feel like that's our goal for all women, right, is to be able to maximize each area of their lives based on the different phases of their cycle that they're in currently.
Exactly. Yeah, that's my favorite.
Yeah. I know, right? Me too. So tell me a little bit. You mentioned that just a bit. I'm just curious if you had any more suggestions for women around, like, you know, what are feminine strengths? Like, what are feminine traits that are considered strengths or superpowers? Because, again, like you said, we identify so much with the masculine strengths of, like, just pushing harder and farther and going it alone and all of these things, and we don't recognize that there are so many female strengths. Do you have any to add to that?
Yeah, like, I love to think of it as, like, I like how you said superpowers. I think of it as goddess energies. So, you know, there's four goddess energies that we cycle through every month. And I don't know any woman who doesn't want to feel like, you know, a powerful seductress, or, you know, someone who, like, basically there's four archetypes. So I'll just take you one by one through each of the archetypes. When you're in your premenstrual phase, you know, I think of it as a time of having access to your own inner magic. And the archetype that comes with that phase is either the enchantress or the seductress, however you like to relate to her. And she's kind of like, you know, we in our society, we've kind of adopted the idea of the bitch. But I think of her more as the witchy energy. It's our own personal magic. When we really know how to wield that magic, we don't have to be, you know, irritable and aggressive. That energy is kind of a result of pushing against your own internal flow. Like, if you're always trying to force yourself to do more and not to slow down and to override with caffeine, you will feel the irritability of and the bitchiness of the premenstrual time. But if you actually give yourself the opportunity to, like, really slow down, to really feel your sensuality, to spend more time kind of connecting with yourself, you'll really see this energy of the enchantress or the seductress really come into, you know, the way you express. It's a really great time to, like, honestly, like, experiment, you know, sexually. It's a really great time to feel into your own sexuality. Because there is a lot of power in our feminine energy, But this is the energy I think is the most difficult for women because, you know, historically we have like kind of two archetypes, the good girl and the bad girl, or the, you know, the princess and the whore, however you want to think about it. And so
yeah, there's like nothing in between, is there?
Yeah,
there's
exactly.
Nothing in between. We just got like the two on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
How should we fall into between that?
So, you know, part of it is to kind of reclaim what is your sensual, sexual energy and how do you wield that power? And it's not about manipulation. It's really about owning it. And then we cycle into the menstrual time. And I think of this time as the wise woman or the visionary. You can also think of her as the dreamer. So in your period time, you'll actually notice, most women will notice, that you feel tired, you feel kind of lower energy. Your tendency is to want to kind of like curl up under the covers and just hibernate. It's kind of like winter. You just want to stay inside and in front of the fire and wear fuzzy slippers in your bathrobe. And instead of feeling like something's wrong with that, if you actually embrace it, it's such a nice time for like retreating, restoring yourself, doing really nice things like baths and getting quiet and meditating, because there's so much information there from your intuition that wants to come through in your menstrual time. And that's really the superpower of the menstrual time, is your intuition, and that your soul is the most accessible, the messages of your, you know, inner being. So your mind is less active, and you might notice that it's harder to concentrate, it's harder to be productive at work. So instead of focusing on that, if you actually kind of quiet down and go more into a meditative listening place, maybe journaling, maybe like actively, like quietly meditating, you can actually receive so many insights, solve solutions to your problems, at least like next steps. What do I, you know, where do I go? What do I do? Ideas will just come to you very naturally if you give yourself that space to listen. That's the darker side of our cycle, the premenstrual and menstrual phase. And then we move into the lighter side of the cycle. So your pre-ovulation, your what I call your go-getter phase, you know, this is what I think one that most of us are really, really in touch with. It's very much in line with the masculine paradigm of productivity, checking off, your check boxes on your to-do list. We're really on. Estrogen is pumping. And we feel good, we're happy, we're free, it's high inspiration. So we're in that go, go, do, do mode, and it's great. We get a lot done, and we feel good. And then we move into the nurturer or the lover energy. And this is a time, you know, around ovulation where our pheromones are pumping through the body, estrogen is peaking, and we're at our most fertile, but that doesn't just mean that, you know, because you're trying to have a baby fertile, but you're at your most creative fertile as well. So it's a really great time for, like, connecting with others, bonding, you know, whether it's with your lover or your friend or your mother. It's a time for, like, really connecting from your heart and strengthening your relationships and your bonds. And also, like, you know, if you want to have it's a really great time to host a party or have a dinner, because you're really in that nurturing place of giving and receiving. So, you know, if we work in harmony with all of these parts of our cycles, we're actually optimizing, you know, we're maximizing our feminine energy as opposed to trying to force ourselves into some type of mold that we really don't fit anyway.
Right. Oh, my goodness. That was such juicy, good information. I'm so happy you shared all that. I'm glad we went into it. Oh, so good. So good. I feel like we could talk about this all day. Unfortunately, we only have like 12 minutes left. But anyway, I'm going to just let everyone absorb all that, and we'll move on to something that I was curious about, your suggestions for the best responses for when people say things like, you must be on your period, or you're just PMSing, or she's just being a bitch, or whatever it is. I think that some good, solid responses to that would be so useful for so many women, because a lot of us experience it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Nicole, I kind of feel like it starts with, it really starts with having compassion and realizing that, like, we have these cultural taboos that give periods a really bad rap and give hormones a really bad rap. And I feel like when we start kind of, first of all, understanding that there's nothing wrong with us and there's also nothing wrong with others, then we can actually be more compassionate. So if, for example, at work, your friend is like, or your colleague is being really snappy, and you immediately will get that, you know, because it's built into our kind of psyches to think, oh, God, she's probably PMSing, or, you know, she must be on her period or whatever. But it's about catching yourself, I think, in those conversations, and really trying to be more compassionate and more connecting, so that instead of moving into that place of judgment or blame, maybe you could, you know, sort of ask, are you okay? Do you need something? Is something going on with you that I could help you with? And really extending that sense of, like, I'm a woman too. I understand. I feel like that is really the first step for everyone before we can start having, like, really good, you know what I mean, like, communication amongst women about periods and hormones, that we need to come into a place of compassion, not only for others, but for ourselves, because, you know, you're not going to be the same all the time. You're not going to be on all the time. You're not going to be perfect all the time. So when you start recognizing that for yourself and being kinder and gentler, then you'll be kinder and gentler to other people.
For sure. I love that. I think that there is this common misconception that women are catty or not, don't have each other's backs and things like that, along those lines. At least I was raised in a society that sort of perpetuated that. And and my life now could not be further from the truth. I have incredible women in my life, and I really feel that we need to work together to cultivate that.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think it goes a long way to just show kindness to another person. But first you have to be kind with yourself, you know?
Oh, for sure. I know. That is always the challenge for so many women. It's funny because I don't think that I ever heard anyone talking about loving their bodies or loving themselves or being satisfied or happy with their weight or how they looked or whatever until I was probably in my 20s, until I entered this whole world of self-help. It wasn't until then that I really genuinely heard someone genuinely say that about themselves. I mean, we just grew up in, or at least I did, I grew up in a place where nobody talked about that. And I have so many friends who've said the same thing. They never heard their moms talk nicely about themselves. And so it's so difficult to then show that love for other people if you're in a place of self-loathing.
Yeah. And, you know, like, I feel like self-love is also such a, so easy to say that, but what the heck does that mean?
Tell me about it.
So, you know, so I think that this is a really important first step for self-love, especially for a woman, is when you start embracing what it means to be a woman, what your hormones are doing, and instead of feeling like you need to fight them or you need to override them or you need to control them in some way, that you can actually start to work with them, I think that's one of the easiest and simplest first steps towards self-love, because it's self-understanding, I think, is a precursor to self-love. So once we start understanding how our bodies work, how our emotions ebb and flow, and how our minds and how our bodies, they work together, it's in that self-understanding, I think, that self-love is where, like, it sort of sprouts from that, you know, it blossoms from that place of self-understanding. Yeah. That's why I think it's so important, the work that you do, and the work that I do too in bringing this information to light, to educating women, because that's when they can start seeing themselves differently and then acting towards themselves and others differently.
Oh my gosh, that was so well put. I love what you just said about self-understanding being a precursor to self-love, because I think that that's almost a missing piece for so many women. There's mm-hmm. such a lack of body literacy amongst modern
yeah.
women that, we're so disconnected and far removed from what it means to understand how our bodies function. We are so afraid of them, and mm-hmm. we're kind of in the dark about it, that it's really difficult, I think, to jump from that place to a place of, I love myself, I love my body, I
exactly.
love how my body functions. Yeah, it's
yeah, because
really.
It sounds ridiculous, right? Like, what woman is going to say, yeah, I love my period? No, she's not going to say that, right? She's probably going to say,
definitely
I hate
not.
My period, right?
Yeah,
until she understands
the general
something deeper.
Consensus.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, it is, for sure. Oh, I love this so much. Okay, so what about some, what is it, like I said in the intro, talking about what we can take away from having more period awareness, not only for women, but for men too. Do you have any little gems?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like men, I love men. I feel like men are our biggest allies. And,
yes.
Whenever in all of the years I've been doing this work, and I think it's been like 10 years now, I remember, when I took my quote-unquote, like, first business course, like in, I don't remember, it was 2007 or 2008, and we were all supposed to talk about, the work, the business that we wanted to start, and it was I was partnered up with a guy, and I told him, and his eyes opened up wide, and he looked at me, like, with real, like, with this, like, beseeching look, and he said, can you come talk to my wife? And I was, like, amazed, And ever since then, no matter, like, which man I talk to about these concepts, they're always, like, I wish you could come talk to my girlfriend. I wish you could come talk to my sister. I wish you could, talk to my wife. Because they see it, right? They're on the outside. And they see our emotions fluctuating. They see our sex drive changing. They see mm-hmm. how we can be, like, super productive, like, planning extraordinaire, superwoman, and then see us, like, totally withdraw and go into a cave. And they see this all from the outside, right? But we
yes.
don't see it because we're
it.
Doing it, right? So
totally.
They love it because they're like, oh, my God, now you've given me, like, I can talk about this in a way that makes some sense. You're giving me language and kind of like a roadmap. And it's not, obviously, they're on the outside. Like, for you, it's an even bigger deal because it's
mm-hmm.
happening to you, right?
Yes.
So
no
when
doubt.
You actually, right, so if you have a map, a navigational tool about yourself, now you can predict what you need
right.
at certain times of the month, and then you can communicate to your partner, to your friend, whoever you're in your relationship with, whether that's a friendship or a romantic relationship. When you know what you need, then you can communicate that, and the other person has a chance to actually, meet your needs. But if you don't, if you're like constantly, not even understanding your own needs and what's happening inside of you, then it's going to be unstable not only for you, but for the other person. They don't know how to meet you because you don't know what's happening. So
oh my
goodness. I feel like men, men love it when we understand this stuff because when we are in a place of empowerment, they can just love us more.
For sure. Oh, so well said. I love it. I think that was so great. I really appreciate that because I really do feel the same way. I've had so many men write me over the years asking me to talk to their girlfriends or they're going through something and they really just need to understand it. They really do genuinely want to understand and serve their women.
Totally.
Yes. Oh, good. Okay, so tell me a little bit about where, you know, what's going on with this Not Psycho Period movement and where you're at with that right now and how everyone can find you. Dying to hear all about that.
Yeah, so, you know, basically today, as you know, is International Women's Day, so I am mm-hmm. hosting an online party and webinar for women who basically want to learn more about how to work with their cycles, how to work with their hormones, get out of this place of frustration and pain around periods, you know, whether that means you're having really painful periods or you just hate your period or, you know, your period means that you're not pregnant and so now you feel like a failure. So all of these things we're going to be addressing in the webinar, plus I'm going to be doing a little workshop on how to chart your cycle with the moon, as well
awesome.
As kind of, yeah, and a guided mm-hmm. visualization to really listen to what is your womb desperately trying to tell you. So the webinar is happening tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, and you just have to go to notpsychoperiod.com and sign up. And then everyone who can't make it can get the replay if you sign up.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Well, just so everyone knows, there is a link in the description of this show, so you can sign up there as well. Oh, wow. Zara, this has been so incredible. And also, too, where can people find you? Like, what's your actual website, just in case they missed the webinar?
Absolutely. So you can find me at yogagoddess.ca. I am okay. in Canada, so
obviously,
you can, yeah, and
yes,
you can find me there. Yeah, and
okay.
You know, I'd love it if people feel inspired. Hashtag not psycho period. Change your status on Facebook to we're not psycho, we're cyclical period. Join the mm-hmm. movement, make the claim. You know, take a stand for your hormonal health, and let's change the culture of conversations about hormonal women and periods.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, so well said. I really appreciate you being on here today with me. This is so, so good. Oh, my goodness, so much juiciness. I feel like I said before, we could just keep talking about this all day
yeah.
because there is really a lot to talk about around this subject. Mm-hmm. And like you said, we need to take a stand and really start to shift this paradigm. So thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Nicole. I feel so happy to know you and to be collaborating with you. And I love the work you do. I love how, to be honest, I love your tone and I love how you talk, you know, about periods and hormones. And you're, you know, a real inspiration because there's not, you know, not a lot of us out there having these conversations. So it's really nice to feel in community. So thank you.
Me too. I write back at you. I feel exactly mm-hmm. the same way. I love the way you talk about periods and menstrual and reproductive health as well, too. It's just so cool because we all are essentially talking about the same thing, but we have
yeah.
such different perspectives on it. And that's what's so great about the work that we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. It's the feminine.
It is. It is indeed. Well, thank you so much again, Zara. It was so great chatting with you. I can't wait for us to chat again, and I will speak with you soon.
Yeah, happy Women's Day, and talk to you soon.
Happy Women's Day. All right, bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.